Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 49, if you will, please. Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis 49. I want you to find verse number 1. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 1. Once you've found it, why don't you stand with me? We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God, as well as give ourselves just a little break before we go through with this sermon here. Genesis chapter 49. Verse number 1. Look back up here at me, if you will, for a moment. Preaching a tent revival this week, and each night after the revival, they had some refreshments at the church. And while there, often people come over and talk to me and sometimes ask for counsel or advice or just different chit-chats and things like this. After the service, a man came over to me, and someone that I know. He had a little white styrofoam cup of water in his hands, and he came over, and the guy had been through a lot, and I knew he had been through a lot, but he came over there, and it was a semi-private setting, and he saw me. He began to cry. He said, "Brother Owens, I'm so glad to see you. I am just so glad to see you." He said, "I needed to see you." And then, but I watched that glass of water. His hand was just trembling. Now, there's nothing wrong with him physically. He didn't have Parkinson's disease or anything like that. He was just trembling. The water was just splashing everywhere. And I put my hand on his arm, and I stilled him so the water did not spill. And I said, "Brother, relax. God's in control. Everything's going to be okay." We talked for a few minutes, and then I released his arm. And then I noticed wasn't splashing water out anymore. Somehow God had calmed him. God sometimes does it for you. You listen to the scripture this morning, and folks, sometimes you and I are like that cup of water. You know, water's unstable. Let me read to you. Genesis chapter number 49, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jacob called his sons and said, 'Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel.'" Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, take the sermon and help people with it. All we want to do is be a tool that helps people today. God, help these people through your word, through your man, and through your spirit today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'm going to tell you the name of my sermon right off the bat. It's a question. Are you unstable? Are you unstable? There in Genesis chapter 49, verse number 4, we heard it said, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." This is Jacob, and it is Jacob's dying blessing, if you will, with his boys. He's dying, and he calls his boys over to him. He tells his kids what their future is basically what he predicts and what he has for their future. It's a scriptural prediction, though, from the Word of God, what Jacob is saying to his sons. He has a son by the name of Simon, and Simon, the scripture teaches that Simon is kind of a cruel young man, and he's a bit out of control. He has a son named Levi, and kind of a destructive young man. He said, "Judah, you're one of the one that people are going to praise, and you're lion-hearted. You're a good, strong leader." Then he speaks of one more child, his boy named Reuben. He said, "Reuben, boy, you're as unstable as water, and because of it, you're not going to excel." Basically, Dad said, "Son, if you can't get it together and hold it together, things are going to fall apart, and you're not going to succeed. You're going to fail. Unstable as water." My wife and I, years ago, her sister had a waterbed, and I had always wanted to sleep on a waterbed. I thought, that is just going to be the berries. We're going to get to sleep on a waterbed. So we went and spent the night at her sister's house. And her sister said, well, you guys can have the waterbed. And, you know, on the outside, I want to stay calm. I'm not going to get excited. But on the inside, I was going, yeah, we're going to sleep on a waterbed. This is going to be great. We're going to sleep on a waterbed. And I remember Edel saying, well, it probably could use a little extra water in it right now. And I didn't know what that meant, needed a little extra water. Now, so you understand, if it's not filled up, it's a little extra squishy, if you will. And so we're getting ready for bed, and I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome, sleeping on a waterbed. So I go over, and I sit on this thing of the waterbed, and I go, you know, it almost folds up on me. And the next thing you know, the two sides are slapping me on the side of the face. I'm thinking, honey, I'm stuck in here. And, you know, I put one arm, you know, when I sat on the bed, I put an arm down to catch myself. And, you know, my arm sank into the waterbed about up to here. And then I'm climbing in, and, you know, when I get in, my knees hit the waterbed. The front of it comes up and it hits me because it just kind of folds up. And so I'm trying to get in this waterbed, and so finally I get myself. So I'm thinking, I am not going to get a good night's rest. Now, you all got to know something. Mrs. Owens gets motion sick. I mean, when our children were little and we would go to the fair and the kids would get on the merry-go-round, Mrs. Owens couldn't even watch the kids on the merry-go-round. She would go, my wife, when our kids were on the merry-go-round, Mrs. Owens would go over, she would find another mother that had a child on the very same merry-go-round, and she would stand beside that mother. Mother she didn't even know. That mother would watch the merry-go-round. My wife would turn her back, standing by a mother she did not know, and my wife would say, you see those kids right there, they're mine. Said, every time they come around, tell me, so I can turn around and wave at my kids, and then she'd turn back around. And so you'd see my wife out there at the merry-go-round doing this. And so she gets motion sick. So she's trying to get in the bed. What a mess. I mean, my wife finally, she gets in this water bed and it's doing this. And then I'm trying to lay still. And she said, honey, I'm not feeling well. I mean, she's seasick. She's seasick. Like being out on the Atlantic Ocean, she's seasick. And I got to tell you, you talk about unstable. Have any of you ever been in a waterbed? Well, some of you, you've been out on one of those little blow-up rafts, you know, that you can lay on in a swimming pool or something, and it just moves, and it moves, and it moves, and it moves. Unstable. Water moves in its container, if you will. It's unstable. Water's not something on which you can build a foundation. Water is easily disturbed. You know, you can throw a little pebble in a lake and the ripples could virtually go for miles if that distance was available. Water's unpredictable. It's an unreliable surface. Water's not solid. I give you some advice. You can't set on water. You can set in water, but you can't set on water. You can't walk on water. Well, Peter did, and I did for a little while, but I don't want to brag. You can't drive a car on water. You can't ride your bike on water. You can't build a house. I know they have houseboats, but it's floating on top, and it does this. It's unstable. Water's not steadfast. Water's not firm. Water is ever-changing based on its surroundings. And there are way too many Christians that are ever emotionally changing because of their surroundings. Uriah, you think I'm dancing? I know what you're thinking back there, brother. Folks, God does not want us to be unstable. And I love you, and I'm your friend. What I teach today, for some of you, it could really, really help you if you'll let it. But folks, let me tell you something. You and I are supposed to be in a little better shape than the world emotionally. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We ought to be in better shape. We shouldn't be in the mess that they're in. Are you as unstable as water? Do you panic at the slightest ripple? Are you easily emotionally spooked, like a dove, like a deer? Do you go off the deep end easily? Do you find yourself launching into fits emotionally? Do you get overwhelmed with insecurity far too often? You use a lot of big emotions over little occurrences. You make quick, immature decisions that hurt you and then hurt other people. Does someone have to constantly calm the waves that you create emotionally around you? Do you not manage your own emotions? I could put it this way. Do you freak out too often? Are you unpredictable like water? Your panic gets out of control, and then so does your decision making. You don't pray before you panic. You know, some think, then act. You act, then think. The one thing that is predictable about you is that you will be unpredictable. You immediately see things worse than what they are, then you make them worse than what they were. You know, people can be unstable. Some of you behave emotionally like the ride on that waterbed. Just unstable. You can be unstable in your emotions. You can be unstable in your Christianity. You can be unstable then in your relationships, in your spirit or attitude. Unstable in your decision making. Unstable in your self or Holy Spirit control. Unstable in your thinking or your attitude. This develops into an unstable life. There are people in here, this is what you're like financially all the time. I mean, it's just unpredictable. Now, life has some unpredictableness to it. But folks, we're not supposed to be constantly out of sorts, unpredictable, and unanchored. God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." That's what I'm to be. I'm to be an anchor. I'm to be steadfast. I'm to be unmovable. What I'm supposed to do is take my shoes off and get a screw done, put some screws through the inside of my shoes and buckle them down, put them back on and stand firm. Lock in. God wants us to be sound. S-O-U-N-D. That means solid, predictable, dependable, sure. Psalm 119 verse 80 says, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes." 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Listen to Titus chapter 2 verse 6 and 8. "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded." Not talking about drunkenness, it's talking about get some principles by which you will behave and let something other than your emotions guide your thinking. It says, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." A pattern is predictable. It says, "In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech." In other words, I'm to be strong, predictable. And even my words are not to be frantic and just flung out there and so whatever happens, happens. Oh no, think before you talk. Think before you respond. Act after you've decided how to act. I'll never forget, honey, that waterbed. I was so excited. Now, I'm told that if you fill it with the right amount of water, it's not like that. Well, I'll guarantee you this one wasn't filled with the right amount of water. It turned into, it was a mess. I'm just thinking, if I turn over in the night, I will suffocate. I will drown and the water never had to touch my body. I would just suffocate. So we're holding hands, lying there on that bed, and she's saying, "Don't move. Don't move. I'm going to throw up." And I'm thinking, me too, and I don't even get car sick, you know? And listen, folks, there's some of you, you're sick in life, and it's because there's so much instability in the way you behave, you're almost making yourself motion sick. And you know what God wants? He wants to anchor you down. He wants to make solid your emotions. Now, we're all going to have moments of panic, but you're not supposed to live that way, not 24/7, not every time, not all the time, and you ought to be getting better at it, not worse at it. And the longer you've been saved, the better you ought to be at it. You say, well, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, it's not just you. It's the Holy Spirit of God that will help you. He's the stabilizer. Stay with me now. Let me both teach and preach something to you. I want so bad to help some of you so that you don't feel that woozy, sick feeling all the time in life. Number one, I ought to warn you, unstable people are easily misled in life. They're easily misled in life. Listen, I'll read to you 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. It says, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. See those words? Beguiling, unstable. When we're unstable, we are more easily beguiled. You know, when you look, when a guy says, I know what I believe, I know where I stand, and I know what I am, people don't really race to that guy and say, well, let me see if I can change him. It's the ones that say, well, I don't know what I believe, and I don't know where I stand, and I don't know what I am. And then somebody comes along and says, I think I can change that. Beguiling the unstable. Unstable souls can be beguiled easily or tricked easily. Unstable people are fooled more often by Satan. You ever have Satan freak you out? He beguiled you. He came along and virtually threatened you with something that he couldn't even do, but you freaked out, act like it was going to happen, change your entire life. Next thing you know, it didn't happen, and the devil's going, ha, 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 got you. What happened? Because you were unstable in your emotions, the devil psyched you out, sent you into a tizzy, into a panic, and let it start a tailspin in your life. It's something that he was just threatening. Unstable people, they're easily misled. They're unstable within themselves, so they don't lead themselves well. They won't exercise self-control like they should. They therefore are easily misled by others. You know, unstable saved people can even be persuaded by lost people because they're unstable. Hey, let me tell you something. Unstable people are quick to believe gossip. Why? They're just unstable. You know, there needs to be in every Christian a big dose of a thing called justice. That says, I'm going to believe everything that somebody tells me about him or about her. Not everything that everybody says is true. There's just some of you. Somebody can tell you something about somebody else. And you say, oh, I can't believe that. This is just so terrible. We don't even know it's true. Why are you such an emotional wreck over something you don't even know is true? It's because you're unstable. You're just like this in life, just floating along. Unstable people are quickly affected by whoever is around to influence them. They unwisely and quickly make decisions based on accusation or allegation or rumor. They don't count the cost for their emotional instability. Let me tell you, they're not led by the Holy Spirit like they need to be. Folks, surrender your spirit and attitude to the Holy Spirit. He'll help stabilize you. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, understand this. Unstable people can get misled quickly and easily. Number two, you are unstable, or one of the contributors to being unstable is when we are double-minded. Being double-minded creates an instability. Listen to this verse. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You say double-minded, what exactly does that mean? Well, you realize we have a mind of our own. We also have available the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, I have a mind of my own, and I have the mind of Christ. And if we're double-minded, you say, what's going on there? Okay, you constantly, a double-minded person will go back and forth from doing what they know God wants them to do. Then they get to thinking, yeah, but I want to do this. What God feels compared to what they feel. What God wants compared to what they want. Can I tell you how to stabilize? Find out what God wants and do that. Period. But you can become, you are, I think we all have the availability of being double-minded because we have our carnal mind and we have the spiritual mind. And if you're not careful though, if you let both of them be active all the time, you're going to have yourself confused. And it's no wonder you're unstable like water. You say, what should I do? You need to get sold out on God's way of thinking. Hey, too many people, instead of obeying the preaching, they mentally debate it. You know, the preacher says something that's from the Bible. You know what you ought to say? Well, I'm going to do that. Instead of sit there and say, well, I want to think about this. I'm not sure I really like that. And that's not what that guy on TV said. Well, you might not be able to trust everybody on TV that's preaching. Some of you, you're almost a mental Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, even when it comes to the preaching. I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't like it. Do you spend all your time debating the Holy Spirit when He's trying to change your life during the preaching? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded people are confused. Every once in a while when I'm driving, Mrs. Owens helps. Now, she has a telephone that has a GPS. I have a telephone that has a GPS. I have a mind, and she has a mind. And we were on a trip. When we were on vacation, we went to Cashiers, North Carolina. And at one point, she had her GPS on, and I had my GPS on. And she was watching the road signs, and I was watching the road signs. But we just happened to be in part of the country where the GPSs were kicking in and out, but not telling you when they were in and not telling you when they were out. We come to this part in the road, and I've been concentrating, trying to figure out where I am based on the road signs, and she was watching the same thing, and her GPS kicked in and said, turn right here. My GPS kicked in and said, go straight. And she said, you need to go right here. And I'm thinking, I got to go straight here, but the GPS said to go right here, and this GPS said to go left here. Can I tell you something? I might as well just sit there in the middle of that intersection doing donuts. Why? Had way too many minds in on the decision. Some of you don't understand how weak your mind is. It's time for you to let the mind of Christ make your decisions and stabilize yourself and do what you're supposed to do, because God said, God gave you a mind, but not so that you could debate Him, so you could obey Him. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Notice the double-minded are unstable in all their ways. You know what happens? If you're not careful and you're debating the Scripture and debating the things of God instead of just obeying them, you're going to be unstable in your relationships. You're going to be unstable in your decision-making. You're going to be unstable in your emotions. You will stay unstable until you just start thinking God's way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. It didn't say in all thy ways understand Him. I don't understand that. Well, if God said it, just do it. I don't know if I can trust. I'll tell you something. You can trust God far more than you can trust you. Most stable things in my life are the ones where God said it, I do it, I don't have to understand it, I'm just going to do it. Why? I want stability. You know that there are some decisions in life that you make on a regular basis that I don't. You say, why? Because we don't face the same decision? No, I've already made the decision. I've already made the decision. I'm not going to rethink it every time I turn around. I found out a long time ago what the Bible said about doing this bad or that good, and I decided I'm going to do the good and not do the bad, and I don't rethink it every time I'm with the wrong crowd. You know, you get at work and you're around those people that are difficult. I don't have to rethink it every day. I already decided a long time ago. The Bible said that that's wrong, and as a result of that, it's still wrong, and the answer is no. But don't you want to think about it? No. Thought about it a long time ago. I don't need to rethink what God told me He believed is wrong. Unstable. We're unstable. Which means we need to get rid of some of our opinions. You say, well, everybody's got opinions. I know. And if I were going to pick an opinion, and I'll tell you, some of you say, I'm for God's convictions in my life. Me too, but I'm for God's opinions too. I not only trust God's convictions, dogmatic, doctrinal mandates, I'm also for God's opinions. You say, well, I'm going to use my opinion. Do you know something? God's opinion's better than your opinion. You say, but it's just an opinion. I know. Doesn't matter what it is. God's is better than yours. There's a false teaching that you can get saved by getting baptized, and you can't. You could get baptized all day long and never get saved. But an old drunk stumbled on to a church that believed that you could get saved by getting baptized. The old drunk was watching them. He ends up out in the water, and the reverend said, would you like to find Jesus today? The old drunk stumbled over there, and they dunked him under the water. They brought him up, and the reverend said, did you find Jesus? The drunk said, no. Dunked him under the water again. He came up. The drunk said, or the preacher said to him, did you find Jesus? The drunk said, no, sir. Now, the reverend's getting upset now because usually he dunks them at least once or twice and they find Jesus. In other words, trying to say they get saved. Now, you don't get saved that way. But the reverend said, well, I'll put you under again. This time he puts him under. He's under there about 30 seconds. The bubbles start coming up. And the preacher brings him up and said, did you find Jesus? And the old drunk said, I didn't. But before you put me under again, are you sure this is where he fell in? Now, I'm going to tell you something. In our decision-making, folks, there's a way to make right decisions. And that's not to make them your way, but to make them God's way. Remember, the sermon is, are you unstable? Unstable people are misled very easily. Unstable people, they're double-minded. Number three, unstable people, there's some very important things in life that they've just not learned yet. There's some things that they've not learned. And it has more to do with controlling oneself than it has to do with your general knowledge. Listen, point three is, unstable people have not learned some very important things. Listen to 2 Peter 3:16. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Unstable people, there are some things about the Christian life that they've just not learned. When the word here, unlearned, I hate to tell you, its definition is immature. It means not grown up enough. And so, you know, I prepare my sermons with nobody in mind, but everybody in mind. When it talks about unlearned and unstable, it's talking about someone that's not totally trained. It's actually, that word unlearned is talking about someone that's in kindergarten. They're untrained. They're not potty trained yet, if you will, that kind of a thing. So when it says here they are unlearned and it connects it to unstable, it means they're responding like a child. For instance, children overreact, right? I watched when we were traveling up north. That's not a cuss word, so you know. But when we were traveling up north, when we did come home, we did come south. But when we were traveling up north, we got to stop in and see a couple of our grandchildren. And we purchased our grandson a blow-up sword, a weapon. And then we purchased our granddaughter a blow-up wand for a princess, which became a sword also. So I watched my grandson go over and whack his sister in the head with that sword. She's looking around, so she picked up her wand and whacked him back. And she wasn't going to stand for it. She's voting for Hillary. But in a moment, And I went over and I watched my grandson again swat her with that blow-up sword. And it was just air and a little bit of plastic. But she knew this time she could milk that thing for all it was worth. He whacked her. I watched it happen. He whacked her. She kind of looked around. I was the only one watching and she didn't know I was. And she went, whoa! And she, I mean, she, a war cry. Everybody turned around, and when she noticed everybody turned around, she turned it on high alarm. Oh! And well, Grandma said, oh, now don't be hitting your sister with that thing. And Daddy said, oh, it's going to be okay. You're all right. She screamed for everything it was worth. She overreacted. Some of you do too. You overreact. Little hurts are blown so far out of proportion. It's pathetic. It's bloody murder. No, it's not. Children panic easily. See, they're still yet learning to control their emotions. Unstable people have to learn certain things about the control of the emotions. They have to learn to control their decisions, have to learn to control their thinking. This is what we all do, right? Don't we grow up and learn how to control our emotions and control our decisions and control our thinking? Do you know you have to learn to control your mouth? You have to learn to control your temper. If you've not learned it yet, that it's an immaturity, it's doable. There are people younger than you that have learned it. You have to learn to control your insecurities. Some of you are very quick to judge others. You know what you need? You need to grow up. You're unstable. You quickly judge others, and what you should have done is put your judgment under control and put it through a justice process and think before you react. But you just make your judgment. You have to learn to control your negativeness. You have to learn to control your blame of others. There are people that whatever happens to them, it's always their husband's fault. It's always their wife's fault. It's always the other person. It's always got to be somebody. Both. We got to learn to control our attitudes. We got to learn to control our responses. We have to learn to control our spirit. We're like the waterbed with our attitude toward things. Just like this. Unstable people must learn through the Spirit of God and the Word of God to control the different areas of their life so they're not unstable. Some need to learn of your own instability and face it. In other words, you look you right in the eyeball and say, we're going to get this fixed. We'll get God's help. Hey, learn to catch that instability before you throw an irrational fit. Learn to catch it before the fit instead of catching it after the fit. Let me go on. Number four, unstable people, if they're not careful, will bring on their own personal disruption. Now, I hope you all see everything I'm teaching you is scriptural. I hope you're listening to the scripture that I'm giving you. If we're not careful with this instability, this just water-like way of responding, and it'll make you sick if you're not careful. You won't even want to be alive. You get to the point where everything is just, it's all so messy all the time around me. Well, stabilize. Get an anchor in there. But if you're not careful, you'll destroy yourself. You'll self-destruct. Did you know there's nothing that God will bring upon you that has to destroy you unless you let it? Listen to 2 Peter 3:16. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. There is that unstable person now virtually bringing themselves to self-destruction. I hope you all know this. Do you know who Jeff Owens' biggest enemy is? I want it to be publicized. I want everybody in the world to know. This will go on the internet. I want everyone to know who my biggest enemy is. It's me. Do you know who causes me to fail? You're right. It's Mrs. Owens. Hey, Christian, grow up. Well, if they wouldn't have. It sounds like the playground, kindergarten. Well, my sister hit me. My biggest enemy is me. You hurt you more than all the other hurts added together. I'll guarantee you the biggest hurts in your life are from you. Don't destroy yourself. Hey, you, when you hurt you, you're hurting. Hey, some of you, you hurt your marriage, you hurt your kids, you hurt your church, you hurt the fallen, you hurt the young Christian, you hurt the lost, and you hurt yourself. Why? Because of your instability. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. You just haven't been through anything in life. You might be shocked what I've been through in life. Matter of fact, the reason that most people can teach on things like this is because they've been through enough that they know how to teach it and how to help people. You don't know my story. I ought to be a basket case. And I am. I'm out of the insane asylum. Listen. 2 Peter 3:17 says this, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. God doesn't want any of us to fall from the steadfastness that's available to us in Christ. Folks, listen to this. I'm going to say it more than once. You can be steadfast in Jesus. You can be steadfast as a Christian. You can be. Now, you're not going to be. You say, I'd like to be steadfast and predictable and anchored down. Well, you're not going to get it if you don't come to church. And you're not going to get it if you won't read your Bible. And you're not going to get it if you don't walk in the Spirit. I know all sorts of people. And you know, I got to tell you, it's almost impossible for me to help people with their emotions and to get their life together if they won't come to church. Because it's not just something that you do socially. It's something that you do spiritually. It's made available to you because Jesus is the rock of my salvation. And if you want stability, it's doable. You can be steadfast. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:25. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We oppose ourselves. So this is what I've said. I said, unstable people can easily be misled, even misleading themselves. Number two, unstable people are double-minded. They go to debating the things of God instead of just merely doing what's right. Say, well, I don't feel like it. There's your problem. No matter what you feel like, do what's right. Thirdly, unstable people have not learned something. And it is not an education. It is controlling the education that one has or not controlling it. It's a character issue. Number four. If we're not careful, then we'll bring on our own destruction. Number five. And I hope this challenges you. This is the last point, by the way, although it's a 45-minute point. And it's not. Unstable people do not usually excel in life. They could have. I have watched people that are brilliant. They've got it all. I mean, I've watched people who are intelligent and they're creative and they've got all these wonderful talents, but they're unstable, so they never excel. You ever seen someone you think, what a waste? What a waste. Look at everything they have, but because they cannot control themselves emotionally, they never get to go forward and conquer. And it's not because of a lack of training, it's a lack of control. Unstable people don't excel in life like they could. It was said in Genesis 49:4, unstable as water. This is what was said of Reuben. Thou shalt not excel. Because you're undependable, you're unstable. You can't lead others because you don't lead yourself. Because you're unpredictable, you're unstable. You won't excel. You never feel like you're getting ahead. You always feel like you're somehow just a step away from where everything else is. And you always feel like you're left out a lot. You always feel rejected. And because of your instability, it's everybody else's fault, probably not your own. You probably suffer with jealousy because others are used and you're not. But it's your unstable ways that hinders you. And you become jealousy. There are people in here, you are jealous of people's stability. You know, jealousy is wrong. No matter what it's you're jealous of. You know what happens? You get around unstable people that you can't rely on them. They'll get mad at the leader because the leader has to use stability to lead. Leader had to pick somebody with stability to lead the ministry, and the unstable people say, well, I just get cheated all the time. Well, if you'd chill out and lock her down there a little bit, bud, we might be able to depend on you. But if you won't anchor yourself, how could we let you lead a bunch of people when you're unstable? You ever heard that old saying, the blind leading the blind? Now, if it were your children, you'd understand. Take someone that's emotionally unstable, if you will, and say, well, you know what we're going to do is we're going to let all your children just be with them for 8 hours today. You're going to say, you are not. I want someone stable. Maybe their parents ought to be thinking about that. Folks, to excel, you have to become stable. Doesn't that make sense? You take a child that goes to school that is all over the place, constantly emotionally, they won't get good grades. They will not excel. And I am not making fun of people that are having problems emotionally. I'm trying to help them right now. I want to help you. I don't think you have to have I don't think you have to go down and talk to them on whatever floor it is at the hospital and have them put you in a straitjacket. I think you need Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and you need to do all you can. And you say, but preacher, I'm not sure my emotions will ever be everything they ought to be. Okay, maybe they won't. Maybe the nervous system is damaged, but let me tell you something. They can improve. And they ought to improve. And you ought to be in better shape today than what you were yesterday as a Christian, because you will grow in Jesus Christ, learning how to control what God's given you. I don't think you and I are supposed to go around comparing ourselves to each other emotionally. I don't think we're supposed to do that. I do think we're supposed to be growing. I think I ought to be further along. I shouldn't be going backwards. I ought to be going forwards. This is what Jacob said to Reuben. He said, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. The reason some are not going forward and feeling successful is because you are not stabilizing your life. Get it stable. You can only build on a stable foundation. I started by saying this, and I'm finished. I was at the preaching meeting, and a man came over. Nothing wrong with him physically, but he was just trembling over the emotional trauma that had come in his life. He was splashing water everywhere. I reached down. I put my hand on his arm and talked to him. I stabilized him. And you know what? When he said to me, oh, Brother Owens, I'm so glad to see you. You know what he wanted? He wanted my emotional stability. That's what he wanted. He wanted that. When I reached out and grabbed him, he didn't ask, but I almost think he wanted me to help make him solid. Then I spoke some words to help stabilize him. I took my hand off his arm. No more shaking. He hadn't taken a pill. No more shaking. No more splashing. I'd just given him some scripture. Helped him to stabilize. We walked away normally. Folks, there's some of you. If you had two glasses of water this morning, you would have come into church like this. I've tried as your pastor to reach out, put my hand on your arm and say, let me help you. I hope you can leave the back door and say, you know what? I'll have to spill any more water today. Maybe this week. Maybe this month. And now you are going to spill some again. I don't care how good you can teach this stuff or how well you know it. I spill water every once in a while. But you don't have to be like the waterbed. Ooh, 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 ooh. Let's, as Christians, show a lost and dying world we're one up on them. Not because of us, but because of what He does through us and to us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're unsaved, this stability is not available until you get salvation. If you died today and you're not sure you go to heaven, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God will move in, and He'll help to become a rock in your life. He'll give you that stability. There's some of you, you sit here today, and so you know, I've given you things that psychologists and psychiatrists, that they wouldn't even know how to give you. It's come from the Word of God. God created your mind. He created your emotions. And I want to help you with it. But if you're not saved, that stability is available to the Christian through the Word of God. Is there anybody here that would say, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. Don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Okay, then let me ask this. Would someone here today say, you know, Brother Owens, thank you. You said something today. It's a little hard on me, but I needed it. I think I learned something. That'll help me. That'll bring some stability one day when I'm feeling like the waterbed. I believe God's spoken to my heart about growing my stability through the Scripture and through the Word of God. Would you raise your hand and say, God's spoken to me about that. I think that'll help me. I see hands. I see hands all over the house. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need the altar, you come. Oh, it doesn't mean that you're unstable. It just means that you might need the altar. Maybe you have a heartache or a burden or a need in life. Maybe something about which you're praying, you come. Maybe you want to come pray for our new building and getting this project over with as far as the building's concerned. But if you need the altar, I want you to feel like you can come. And some of you who have some struggles in that area of life, maybe you need to come to the altar and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to get myself under the preaching. I need to be under this kind of teaching and preaching where my pastor loves me and he'll show me from the Word of God how to grow my stability. We might not ever get ourselves totally fixed up, but we sure can improve ourselves, and that's what we want. And remember, don't go around comparing your emotional strength to other people's. That's not fair. You want to compare yourself to somebody, you compare yourself to Jesus. Now we all need a big old dose of something in our lives, don't we? Because of comparing to Jesus. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Why don't you come? Come, get on your knees and say, Lord, I want strength in this area of my emotions. I want strength. I want to do better. Unstable as water. We can be unstable in our emotions, in our Christianity, in our relationships, in our spirit or attitude. Unstable in our decisions, our thinking, our attitude, our finances, and then in our life. And really all I've told you today is God wants you and I as Christians to be steadfast and unmovable according to 1 Corinthians 15:58. He wants us to be of a sound mind, sound speech, sober-minded. That's what He wants of us. Some of you are misled easily because you're not anchored down emotionally. Some of you are double-minded and that's going to confuse you. You're trying to decide what you want to do instead of deciding what God wants you to do. And when you get like that, you're going to cause turmoil in your life. There's some things that you need to learn, and it is not so much that you need a great big education. You need to learn to control your emotions and control your decisions and control your thinking and control your mouth and your temper and your insecurity and your judgment and your negativeness. Get it under control. You probably know enough about life to be okay, but you don't do what you're supposed to do with that part of life about which you know. You'll lead yourself to your own destruction if you're not careful. And you will set yourself back and you will not excel and you will not accomplish or achieve like you should. Now, you're not to be a machine. You're to feel. You're to have emotion. But let me tell you something. Sometimes our emotions make way too many decisions for us. Unstable as water. I thought about calling the sermon Waterbed Christians, but I don't want to use any corny titles for my sermons or anything. One more time through the song, Mrs. Owens. Hey, and so you know, every one of us have our moments when we're unstable. We're like splashing water. The sooner you get it, the sooner you get it together, the better, though. I catch myself splashing water from time to time. But you ought to improve and get better at it.